Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
Tuesday. That's right. Bay Ragney here, doing a little special episode tonight. I was presented with an interview to do over the weekend, so I did it. And the person is Mr. Michael Strider. Michael is a longtime rock photographer who has now stepped into the world to help people. And he formed what's called the Life After Project. And it's a nonprofit organization. And what he's looking to do is help those who suffer from depression, to help prevent suicides, those with addiction problems or going through domestic abuse and violence. And he's looking to help all these people with these situations going on in their life. So we had a great conversation. We talked about his career in rock photography, how he got to start working for the Nuge, Mr. Ted Nugent. We discussed this Life After Project. What made him want to start this. We also talked about he's putting a book together and where the proceeds are going, and he's got a charity buzz auction going on right now, which has some amazing, amazing things that you can win if you bid. If all you got to do is go to charitybuzz.com and search Life After Project and check it out. You got the chance to go to see Cheech and Chong. You got the chance to have lunch with celebrities like, let me see here real quick. Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World, or let's see, who else? Erica Elniak from Baywatch, actor Sid Haig, Star Wars actress Adrian Wilkinson. I mean, amazing things you get to do here. So check it out, charitybuzz.com. And just search Life After Project. But without further ado, let's get into it. I want you to hear this interview with Michael. We had a great conversation, a fun conversation, and I think I made a new friend after all this. So check it out. Here he is, Michael Strider.
And there he is, Mr. Michael Strider.
Hi, Bay. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Awesome, now that I'm on the phone with you.
You're living the dream. Dreams are coming true right before your eyes.
Living the dream. Maybe it's the nightmare, I don't know, but I'm living it, whatever it is.
So how are you?
I'm good, man. So you're mutual friends with Mr. Mark Gus Scott?
Yes, I have known Gus for, 20, probably about 25 years. And at first I was friends with Steve, the guitar player with Trickster. And then I met when I was out on the road with them for about a week, I think it was, when they were opening for Kiss on the Revenge Tour.
Okay.
And Steve, I used to work for Ted Nugent before that. And Steve told me, he said, man, Gus is a really huge Ted Nugent fan. Can you get something signed? And I said, yeah, I'll get him a poster. So I got him a poster signed by Nugent, and he kind of lost his mind and just loved it. He went crazy with it. Up until then, I hadn't I really hadn't talked to him a lot, but as soon as he got that poster, he was like, you know, he was on top of the world. It was very cool. I'll never forget that. We were actually on MTV whenever I gave it to him.
Oh, wow.
So that was cool.
You've led an interesting life, man.
Some may say.
Like, I'm trying to figure out how the Rock photographer became Mr. Homeland Security. Like, how does that work?
Well, Rock photographer, I mean, it's a great thing. It was especially in the, you know, in the old days, it had its cool little perks, you know. I became friends over the years with a lot of the rock stars and stuff, but that doesn't pay the bills. So you have to, you got to have a real job, you know? So that's where Homeland Security comes in.
I'm almost scared to ask, like, what do you do for them?
I work in special ops.
Oh, okay. The what does that actually pertain? I'm sure it's not work with a camera, or maybe it is.
It's not. Unfortunately, it's not work with a camera. But I can't really tell you what it entails. I can tell you off the air, but I can't really tell you on the air. Unfortunately,
it's one of them things where, like, if you tell me, you have to shoot me.
No comment.
and not with the camera.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I enjoy it, you know, but I'd much rather just be a rock photographer, you know, full time. But I mean, these days you know rock stars don't want to pay the money that it takes to to live. I mean, you gotta have food and shelter and stuff, and they don't want to pay that. So they have every, you know, idiot in the world that has a cell phone camera, or they have a real camera and they'll do pictures for free.
Right.
You know, so it's not like it used to be, unfortunately.
I was going to say, I guess, like, the internet and cell phones kind of killed, like, that whole kind of business for people like you.
It did, in a way. I mean, so I have an iPhone X or iPhone 10, whatever it's called, and I mean, it's awesome. But I mean, the downside of it is it put most professional photographers out of business. And even when we were on top of the world, it's still, you know, in all reality, it's still very hard to have to make a really nice living with a, it's never been easy to do it with a camera, never, even before cell phones, you know? And I love taking pictures with my iPhone, because I can take a picture and then, you know, go in and do one of the apps and just push a couple of buttons, and I can have an effect that looks better than something that it would take me half an hour to do on Photoshop. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I love it, but I love it in one sense and I hate it in another sense, you know?
Now you mentioned about Ted Nugent, how you used to work for him, and you actually got started with him working for a magazine, the World Bow Hunter. I didn't even know he had his own magazine for doing that.
He did at that time. This was over 20 years ago. I think I first heard about him, yeah, through one of my best friends in New Jersey. And he was a part of Ted's World Bow Hunter organization. I think that's what it was called at that time. I can't remember. And he said, well, he's looking for regional directors for his hunting organization. And at the time, I was about 22, I guess. And you know, I had never even met a rock star at that point in my life. And I was like, wow, this would be pretty cool. I can actually work for a rock star. Hell yeah, I'll do that. So I didn't know a lot about him and how intense he was and everything. And so I got in touch with his people, and their people got in touch with my people. I think a couple months after that, I became his regional director for his hunting organization. Now, this is obviously happening from a kid that had, you know, I had hunted in my life, but not a lot. That just wasn't a big thing for me, but I didn't care. You know, he was a rock star, and I was, you know, working with him. So that's all that I cared about at that time. And so we had a lot of very interesting experiences. And, oh, God, I'll tell you about a funny story here in a second. But basically what happened, how I got into rock photography, I mean, he's responsible for that. He gave a friend of mine a photo pass, and my friend got sick. He couldn't go, and so I said, well, hey, I love taking pictures, so I'll take your place. So I took his place, and, you know, I kind of fell into it. And, you know, this led to that, and pretty much that was it. I mean, it was, you know, I was, up until that point, I was a little shy little kid and didn't have a whole lot of friends, you know, much less girlfriends and stuff like that. So when I put that laminate around, what were you saying?
That changed quickly, didn't it?
Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it. I remember the very show that I did. And when I walked in with the camera, I had this big camera around my neck and the all-access pass, the laminate and stuff. And, wow, everybody wanted to be my friend at that point. So I kind of fell into it, and I was, you know, really, really intoxicated by it, all the attention. Especially from the women.
Sure.
And that was pretty much it, you know. I mean, it was better than drugs, really, you know, at that point. It was definitely better than anything that I had ever experienced. So it was very, very nice. I wish it could have stayed like that, but, it, you know, obviously it didn't.
It was actually kind of like when I was going through and reading your bio and like stuff like that and interviews and stuff. That was the one thing, like you were just saying, like once you got that all access pass, like you never like realize it. You always hear like the stories about like, you know, road crew and stuff like that. And then the groupies trying to, you know, latch on with them just to get back there. And I'm really like, damn, I never like thought about like even the photographers down in the pit getting that too.
Well, I mean, in those days, it meant something. It was really incredible. And
sure,
I think it was better than being a roadie, you know, because there were so many roadies or whatever. But it was really crazy. Basically what happened was I was so, and like I said, I came from a very, very small town with very few friends and not a lot of attention from people. And, you know, I had idolized all these rock stars my entire life growing up. And when I went in, I came in with the camera and stuff, you know, the pass or whatever. I mean, I just got all this attention, and all of a sudden all these rock stars that I was idling as a kid were my friends now. And they were, all these people were kissing my ass and telling me how great I was. And I mean, that just went to my head. I mean, it was incredible. And I created like an alter ego that I would become when I was around these people, because I kind of, in my mind, I felt like they, you know, they don't want to know the real me, you know, they want me to be on their level. So I created this alter ego, and, you know, after a while, it was really hard to know, hey, am I this person or am I this person? But I really, really, you know, I really loved the alter ego side a whole lot more, because you know, because of the attention. I mean, I was, you know, what's not to love? You have attention from, you know, everybody that you come in contact with when you're in these, you know, crowds of people or whatever,
right.
Whether it's, you know, Playboy Playmates or supermodels or whatever. I mean, who wouldn't love this? You know, it's
absolutely
incredible. Or what guy wouldn't love it, I guess. So it was an incredible time, and it was, in a way, it was a very difficult time and a very confusing time. So, but I loved it. I'll tell you that. I will say that much. It was really, really awesome, to say the least.
You actually had like two of the biggest names in the music business actually point out to you about your ego. And before I even like say about that, like, did you realize yourself before these people said to you like things were getting out of control?
No, because it was so big. I mean, I just kind of pushed it as far as I possibly could, and at that time, and I just was enjoying everything that was, you know, up until that point, I thought was impossible. I mean, how would I have ever guessed that, you know, I could be dating a supermodel or whatever the deal was.
Right.
And it was so out of control. And when Gene Simmons said that, it was like, Jesus, I mean, this dude has the biggest ego in the world.
That's exactly what I thought when I read that.
So I was like, hold it. Maybe there's a problem here. Because he still does. And so when he said that, he told me, he was like, dude, you really need to check your ego. I was like, holy shit. That's like Ozzy Osbourne saying, hey, man, you shouldn't do drugs.
Right.
So I, you know, had to get it into check. And I, over time, I did, obviously. So I've come back down to, I think my feet are on the ground now. But for a long, long, long time, you know, they weren't. And I took advantage of the situation and everything that came along with it, drugs, women, whatever it was, I didn't care, you know, excess.
But it's so easy not to care. You know what I mean? Like when you're getting offered
right.
All that, I mean, we see it time and time again from all these celebrities that just go down that path. You can't help yourself.
No, I mean, what guy in his right mind is gonna turn down, you know, supermodels or drugs or whatever the deal is? At that, in those days, it was different than it is now as far as drugs. It wasn't as much of a taboo thing. And obviously, drugs are terrible. I would never suggest it to anybody. But I did. So, I mean, I had lots of fun, but I mean, you put that in front of somebody that hasn't had access to anything like that other than just watching movies and television.
Right.
They're going to go crazy and, you know, lose their mind.
Sure.
And that's what I did with it. So luckily I made it to the other side.
Thank God. Now you actually, I mean, you went from doing, I guess, like concert photography to actual photo shoots in the whole nine yards.
Right. I do. I went from doing that to, you know, doing portraits and, you know, actors. And obviously I think the first thing that I ever did with a camera was probably a model photo shoot. I mean, I've shot just about everything, probably, you know.
Sure.
It's there's a few things that I don't like doing, but, you know, the passion will always, always, always be rock stars.
Sure.
You know, with the energy that they have and and the energy with the fans, and mm-hmm. you're right there, like in the middle between the fans and the rock stars. So that's always going to be my favorite thing. I mean, it's still, even today, it gives me more of a high than any drug did.
I bet. Know? I bet.
And that says a whole lot.
Now, how about like you end up shooting like the Clintons or Obama or I don't know how this happened, but Gorbachev. Like, how does that happen?
I actually would do the photo shoots through, if I can remember correctly, through different venues where they were speaking or whatever. So that's how I got access to them. And it was, I think, my favorite of all the presidents that I've photographed. I have to say photographed because I don't want to say the S word when it comes to that. But I think Bill Clinton was probably my favorite, I would say. He was very nice, number one. He was very, down to earth. And he was, but when he, was in action, I mean, he was very dramatic. Right. But I liked him a lot. I'll never forget when I met him the first time. And I've met some of the most powerful people in the world. And when he shook my hand, I remember I was like, holy shit. I could not stop shaking for probably a half an hour. It was really incredible. I'll never forget that.
Now, which one's more intimidating, Bill Clinton or Gene Simmons?
For different reasons, I think. I think that Bill was more, I mean, when I shook his hand, I mean, he was the power that just resonated from just shaking this man's hand was just incredible. Gene, he's more intense. People used to ask me who was more intense, Ted Nugent or Gene or people like that. Probably always going to be the most intense person that I have ever, ever, ever met and especially worked for. Good Lord. So it's a different kind. I mean, Bill was very gentle and very nice. Probably the most, God, what's a good word for him? I mean, every word's been used, but he was very charismatic. I mean, like to the point of being scary.
Wow.
I mean, he could just look at you and convince you. I mean, he's the president, look at you and just convince you of anything that he wanted to, and you would believe it. Just in a split second, you would be like, yeah, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, you're right. But I mean, that's what he does. He's a politician.
Right.
But nevertheless, he was always great to me.
Now, I read too that you had a couple bad experiences, and I'm sure you probably had more. But the two that I saw was you had an incident with David Lee Roth pouring some Jack on the camera.
Yeah, I was shooting one of his concerts somewhere. I can't remember where it was, and he actually was drinking Jack Daniels, and he does that all the time. And I've always thought, maybe that's iced tea, or not iced tea, but maybe that's tea, and it's not really Jack Daniels. But he, one night when I was doing photos with him, he poured it on my camera. So I was like, okay, so it actually is real Jack Daniels. It's really crazy. And it ruined the camera, ruined the lens. Everything was completely obliterated after that. That was one of the worst experiences. But, I mean, even then, the other one I think was I was assaulted one time by Rob Zombie. And it's really stupid.
This one shocked me.
Yeah, can you believe that? And he, I was shooting his show in, I think it was Norfolk, Virginia, at a place called the Norva. And I'm doing photos the whole time. And then I start taking pictures of his wife, who's, you know, at the time was very, very beautiful. And I think she still is too. And I'm standing there. I mean, she's on stage dancing as a burlesque dancer, basically. So I'm shooting her. He comes up behind me and kicks me in the back of the head three times, knocks me down to the floor. So I get up and I'm like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? And I kind of shook it off, and he ran to the back of the stage after he did it. And so I got up and just went outside the club. And I thought for a second, I was like, okay, so should I have him arrested?
And then right.
Yeah, I know, and I should have, and I kind of second-guessed it, and I was thinking, well, he could probably have me blackballed if I do that, and that's what I was worried about. So I never turned him in. Stupidly, I should have done that. And, God, I'll never forget that. It was the week that he released his first Halloween movie. So it's been more than 10 years ago, I think. And I was driving down. It was about a five-hour drive from there to where I lived at the time. And I was driving down the road and I called like 20 of my friends. I told them what had happened. And every single person said the same thing. Everybody said, wow, man, that is so fucking cool. And I was like, did you hear what I said? I just got the shit kicked out of me. But
it was by a Rob Zombie, so, you know, not many people can say that.
This is true. But I look back on it, and I was like, oh, man, I should have had that guy arrested. I should have. And I didn't. I just let it go, you know? So
he always seems so chill, too, and relaxed. That's what I'm saying. That kind of shocks me.
Yeah, he's kind of a Charles Manson type manipulation guy, basically. I know a lot of people that are in his inner circle, and he's really bad with that kind of stuff. He's really bad. He's not a good guy. But what are you going to do? I had my chance, and I didn't do anything about it. But I got some great shots that night.
Hey, there you go. You got the job done.
Yeah, I did what I came to do, you know. So that's all that's important, I guess.
Well, speaking of you came to do, and the main reason that we're really, I mean, we could sit and talk about photography all night, but this Life After project that you started, which it, from what it sounds like, it was really inspired by the suicide of a childhood friend of yours, Matthew.
Yes, it was. I started, I guess, probably a little over 5 years ago we first started it, and I lived in North Carolina at the time. So I had came to the realization that I wanted to actually do something to help other people. And so I was talking to a makeup artist friend of mine, and she said, well, why don't you do something for charity? And I said, well, I don't know what I would do. So we thought about, the first thing that came to mind was breast cancer. But I think that breast cancer, as much as it definitely needs it, I think breast cancer gets more funding than any charity. And it needs it. Like I said, it does need it. And so I thought, well, what about suicide prevention? So I had one of my best friends that committed suicide probably 8 or so years ago or whatever.
Okay.
And, you know, so I contacted Didi Hirsch in California, in Los Angeles, and they suggested that we contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a national thing, because not everybody that would be involved with the book would be from Los Angeles. So I started creating a book of celebrities that are advocates for suicide prevention and substance abuse, which are, you know, two of the same things a lot of times.
Sure.
And, so we started doing that. I had a meeting with George Shapiro about donating to his organization called the Brent Shapiro. He's got the Brent Shapiro Foundation. So So we're donating to that and the, you know, the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And we're also doing it with an organization called the Hope Squad. And they mentor children in schools across the country about suicide prevention. So, yeah, that's what started us. And we finally got our 501c through the state of California. And that was a very long process.
I can imagine.
Jesus. Yeah, it was a...
Actually, I was going to say, do you, like, now do you go around and speak, like you were saying, with this one program that goes around and teaches children about suicide awareness? Do you go around yourself and talk to people about this, or?
We haven't started doing that as of yet, but we plan to sometime soon. I think our ultimate goal is to have a freestanding place where we can have doctors, psychologists, therapists, whatever the deal is, to actually help with people that are in need. And also, we've recently added domestic abuse, because that's very important also in this, especially in this society that we live in, that can help people with those three things, you know. It's a very long process, and there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through to get approved through the state and through the federal government.
Right.
In the meantime. But that's what our goal is.
I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, because, you know, actually my wife, she's involved here locally with her own awareness. She's involved with one of the big cheesesteak kings out here, Tony Luke. His son passed away last year from a heroin overdose. And she's been working with him for like the past 6 to 9 months. And yeah, so I mean, I see how much time it takes up for her. So I mean, being involved now that you're like started with the suicide prevention and then the drug awareness and now domestic abuse, it's like, wow, it's like, I can't imagine. That's a lot.
It's definitely a lot to take on, and it's very overwhelming sometimes. So one of my nephews actually OD'd from heroin, I guess probably a couple years ago at this point. So that's a biggie right now, you know. Any kind of drugs like that, I mean, it's horrible. It's really bad. Luckily, when I was in my little drug phase, I didn't touch heroin.
Right.
So that's one I didn't fool with.
I was never a big drug person. I just don't like, you know, you see it. I mean, there's at least one or two news stories every night on the news. It's like, I just shake my head. I've gone to some of these functions that they've done and, you know, hearing these people speak and especially parents who lost a child. It's such an emotional roller coaster. It's like you walk out of there with tears in your eyes and you're just like, wow. Like this is like really heavy.
It's a horrible thing, and it's I think it's out of control at this point. You know, I don't know what the answer is to it.
Right.
To the drug issue. But it's, I mean, I think it's worse now than it's ever been. Obviously,
yeah,
it's in
absolutely.
Schools and everything. I mean, like big time stuff, like heroin or whatever. And maybe it was when I was in school, but I just didn't know it. I don't think that it was. I think the most people would do that in those days would be, you know, smoke pot or maybe take pills or something like that. But
right.
It wasn't anything that's like it is right now.
No, not at all. And going to the suicide part of it, the suicide prevention part of it, especially like when you have like, you know, these big name celebrities taking their lives, and it's become more and more, especially over the last year. I mean, people like Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington, Anthony Bourdain.
Right.
Actually, just today, as a matter of fact, a former WWE pro wrestler took his life. He passed away today. It's like, you know,
which one was it?
Brian Christopher, Jerry Lawler's son. He was one of he was Scotty Too Hotty. Or no, not Scotty Too.
Wow, really?
Grandmaster Sexay. It was Scotty's partner. Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Supposedly he was in jail or something, and he hung himself in prison. And he was, they rushed him. He's been in the hospital for a couple of days, it sounded like, and passed away today.
So it was Lawler's son?
Yeah, his son.
That's terrible. That's really bad. I've worked with several wrestlers throughout the years, you know, doing photos and stuff like that. And I actually worked with Bennington and Chris Cornell, too.
I saw your Bennington.
Well, Bennington, I could understand Bennington, but I was blown away with Chris Cornell. And
yeah.
I think that I really believe that Cornell's death was probably due to the medicine that he was taking at the time. Obviously, I don't know all the details and stuff of it, but I think that was probably what it came from. And that's just my opinion, obviously.
I'll tell you what, the scary part is, like, I suffer from depression, and all the meds that he was on, I was taking,
mm-hmm.
and when the pictures came out of his meds, I was like, get the fuck, like, I was done. Like, I took all the pills and I threw them away. I'm like, fuck you, I don't want them no more. I'm done. Like, no more.
Yeah, because it's supposed to help you and not make you commit suicide. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that he was suicidal. I didn't see anything like that when I was around him, you know, but that's been years ago. But I do know that most everyone on the planet does at some point suffer from depression. Now you have two different kinds of depression. You have people that are depressed occasionally or whatever. That's one thing. But I mean, you know, you have people that are clinically diagnosed, and that's completely different. So if you're not clinically diagnosed, you can't really understand what that entails. I mean, your entire world, you know, just comes crashing to the ground, you know, on a daily basis, multiple times
right.
a day, a lot of times. So I've had problems with depression, but luckily, you know, nothing to that extent, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that I really believe that it was something to do with the medicine he was taking. I just don't think that he would have done that.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know, you know.
And the going to the Chester Bennington one, like, after he passed, like, and then you hear his music and you really listen to the lyrics, I'm like, this poor guy was crying out for years. I mean, just listen to his lyrics. He's crying out.
Yeah, nobody pays attention to that.
Yeah.
And I'm just as guilty. I mean, I had a friend in May. I've had a friend for about 15 years, and he was one of my best friends. And he was he had a mental handicap. Basically, he was just a little bit slower than normal. He was able to function somewhat normally. He drove a car. He had a job, stuff like that. So, you know, he was able to do most of the things that we do. But he was the world champion power lifter for the Special Olympics. And every day was kind of a challenge for him because everybody either bullied him or they shunned him. He never had a girlfriend. He always wanted a girlfriend. He never had a girlfriend. And I woke up one day and one of our mutual friends told me that he was found. And I was like, well, what the hell happened? You know, and I thought that he probably had a heart attack or something like that. And a few weeks later, I was told that the first thing that came to mind was, did he do this himself? Because he was depressed almost all the time.
Right.
And when I asked myself that, I was like, he couldn't really do it because he wouldn't really know how to do it other than shooting himself. He just wouldn't know how to do it. He wouldn't understand how to do it.
Right.
And so I just dismissed it. And then I was told that he had gone on like a chat room and found out ways to do it. And he actually drank poison and killed himself. So it had to be absolutely horrible. And, but I mean, this guy, every day was, you know, he was suffering every single day.
Wow.
And it's because nobody ever, you know, paid him attention. He didn't get any, he had like three friends, me and two other people. And that just wasn't enough. I mean, he wanted a girlfriend. He wanted to be normal. He wanted to be treated normally. But he wasn't, you know, he was, for the most part, I mean, he was shunned.
Right.
And it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. But at least he doesn't have to suffer anymore, you know.
Right.
Because he had a hard time with it. That's the world that we live in, you know?
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it's even like, going back with the heroin drug epidemic and all, the co-host of my live show, my friend Nick Wilkinson, he actually, his sister passed away 2 months ago from a heroin overdose. And he had actually written, he does like these like adult-themed children's books he does that he releases on through Amazon.
Right.
And they're like really like he had written one last year called H is for Heroin, and it's really like in your face, and and then this happened, and he actually he redid it a little and attributed it to his sister. So it's everywhere. It's around everybody so much and sad.
Yeah, I never knew what it was until I was out of high school basically.
Yeah.
And luckily it wasn't like an epidemic at that time. It's not until recent years that it's become, I guess, the drug of choice or whatever.
Right.
But it's out of hand at this point.
It really is.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so
sad.
You were putting together, this coffee table book.
Yes. It's a book of celebrities that are advocates for spreading awareness to the suicide prevention and substance abuse. And so that's what we're doing. I'm doing, you know, photo shoots with a bunch of different celebrities from all areas of the entertainment industry, from rock stars to supermodels to actors to directors, whoever the, you know, whatever the case may be. And we're hoping to have it finished, I hope, by the end of the year.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, actually, I saw one person that you shot, which I'm guessing will be in the book. She actually did our show. It might have been earlier this year or late last year.
Mm-hmm.
Serena Vincent.
Right. Yes, she is. I just talked to her just a couple of days ago. So, yes, she will be in the book. I'm doing a celebrity auction on Charity Buzz to raise money for the book. And she has two things that we're auctioning. She has a set of four 11x14 pictures. And then we have another one that's a really, really cool custom picture that we did. So she's got, I think I've got 33 auctions. And she's the only person out of the whole thing that's got two herself. She's really incredible. She's a sweetie pie.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, I mean, like on this Charity Buzz auction, you got some amazing things going on here.
Thank you. What did you like out of it? You looked at it. So what did you think were cool?
Well, first off, I mean, you're offering lunch with people.
Yep.
So I mean, let me see here. Who were some of the lunch people? Panga from was it Boy Meets World or whatever it was?
Yes. You know, the crazy story about that is that she is the daughter of one of my friends who is my makeup artist. And I have been working with her for at least a couple of years now. And I never knew that her daughter was an actress. And she said, well, my daughter's an actress. Oh, that's cool. What does she, you know, what does she do or whatever? And that's how it all came about. So she's going to be in the book also. I haven't got to do her photo shoot as of yet, but I'll be doing her photo shoot and Jensen, her fiance, also, but haven't met them yet. It's really crazy. Awesome. I've known her mom for so long.
Look, I mean, lunch with Sid Haig.
Yes, I've known Sid for probably 10 years. He's really incredible. He's a really, really cool guy. Nothing like the characters that you see him portray, where he kills pretty much everybody in the movies.
Me and my wife were just discussing him the other day because I think he's doing a horror convention coming up in the area. And she had met
probably
him already.
So.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, you know, I want to go again. I want to meet Sid Haig again. And I'm just like, he just creeps me out, that guy. Just creeps me. Like, he scares me to death. And I remember him being the nicest guy. And she's like, but he was so nice. I'm like, he was. But he still scared me to death.
He's a really, really cool guy. He's very laid back. And he's probably one of the most soft-spoken people that I've ever known in my entire life. Which convention is it that he's going to?
You know what? I think it might be Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
New Jersey. Yeah, I used to live in Bricktown, New Jersey, which is by Tom's River, and we used to go out to that all the time.
I used to be a pro wrestler, so I used to wrestle there back in the day.
So it's small world.
Yeah.
So we used to go out to that all the time, and that's a really great convention. I haven't been there in years. But I would love to go back.
Yeah, they're good times. They're fun times.
You should go to it, though. Go and then tell him that you're friends with me, and he'll probably slap you right in the mouth. But
hit me. Put the fear of God in me even more.
He is so cool, though. You'll really like him. So he's a great guy, really great guy. So hopefully somebody will. What are you going to say?
So you also got a lunch one here with Michael Paré.
Yes.
That's a classic one.
I've known him for several years. I guess since 2009. And same thing with him. I mean, he's very, very cool and laid back. He's probably the most non-Hollywood actor that I've ever known. Him and Sid both are very, very non-typical Hollywood.
I can see that.
You know, they're nothing whatsoever. When you hear, the term Hollywood, or you hear Hollywood actors or whatever, I mean, they are absolutely nothing like that. You know? You
wow.
said, were you a fan of Boy Meets World?
Because of Topanga.
Do you remember, there's another girl that's supposed to be in the book also. Her name is Jennifer Lyons. I think she was on there also, but I'm not sure. She was an actress that was on there also. She may have had some, she may have just done a few episodes or something. I can't remember.
Huh. I'd have to look that up.
You'd know her if you saw her
if
face,
I saw-
you would know her.
People can also
People can also what?
Get a photo shoot with you.
Yeah, we're auctioning a photo shoot with me and the styling by a supermodel. Her name's Patricia Hartman. She's one of the most amazing, huge supermodels from. I think she was from the '90s era, and she's incredible. So that's on there. We've got that. We've got a surfing lesson from two of the ex-presidents from the original Point Break. There's a Cheech and Chong VIP experience. I mean, there's tons of stuff. You can take a wrestling lesson from two of the original Glow Girls. So, I mean, we have a ton of stuff on there that people can bid on. There's a lot of really interesting stuff.
Hollywood's doing she's doing my live show Thursday night, as a matter of fact.
She's doing it Thursday?
Yeah.
I have been friends with Hollywood for a little more than 20 years. Ooh. Jesus, God, it's been that long? Yeah, so she's she's another one that's really, really, really sweet. But you can bid on a wrestling lesson from her and Lightning from the original Glow, Cheryl Russo.
That's awesome.
Really, really incredible. So definitely put a post up and let people know that you can bid on a chance to take a lesson from them in Los Angeles. You should come out here yourself. Fly out from New York.
Sure. I need to get the hell out there. I really do. The whole problem is I make funds like a rock photographer. That's why I got to work a day job.
So you can't get an airline ticket, huh?
I work in a car business by day, and they don't pay as good as Homeland Security probably.
Yeah, good God, dude. You're in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But I know what you mean. I think you're in New York, right? Are you in Long Island or just New York?
I'm actually, well, my studio number is from New York. I'm actually in Philly.
Oh, okay. So you're in Philly, yeah. Yeah, it would be a little bit of a flight, but I think it would be worth it. You know, if you're a Glow fan, I mean, what more could you get other than this? This is pretty amazing.
Yeah, right. That's all we need. Have her beating my ass. For it.
And then your life would be complete, right?
There you go.
I've never been beaten up. I've never been beaten up by her. And I've been, like I said, I've been friends with her for over 20 years. I think I'm probably the only male that she's ever known that she hasn't, you know, kicked my ass. Pretty much everybody else, I think she has. Because everybody that knows her wants to wrestle her. And I'm not saying I don't want to. I'm just saying that I haven't.
Well, you know,
as a matter of fact, maybe we should do that.
You got to do this.
Or you...
Time's short. You got to do this before, you know. You never know.
Before I know, right? I mean, you never know what you know. It could happen before. Maybe I can do it when we do the lesson or something. I've never really thought about it, but I think pretty much everybody on the planet wants to do that.
That's funny. I'm definitely going to bring that up to her Thursday night.
Well. You need to bid on that auction and come out here and surprise her. There you go. She can step in the room step in the ring with you. Step in the room.
I'm actually like, as I've gotten older, I stay away from wrestling rings now. That's why I was leaning more towards a lunch. I like to eat.
Well, we can set that. We can set that up too. That's pretty awesome. I think it's a lot safer to do that. Probably not as fun, but safer anyway.
See, that's why people haven't eaten with me. It's very fun.
I know, right? We should auction the lunch with you. What were we thinking?
Well, there you go. My old wrestling name was Chubby Dudley, so I used to walk to the ring eating food. It would be perfect.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That is funny, man. Very, very cool.
I might have to end up paying somebody to go to lunch with me, though. So it might not make you any money.
You never know. You never know. Hopefully, we've already got some bids on hers, so I'm hoping somebody, jacks it up really high so we can make some good money out of it. And whoever gets it will definitely have a really fun experience for sure. There's no doubt about it. Like I said, absolutely. Maybe I'll just bid on it myself. I'll just do that.
make your own donation. There you go.
Well, there you go.
And there's also amazing, amazing prints from you. Like you said, there's a Chester Bennington one, Gwen Stefani, Springsteen.
Yes. We have, I think those are the rock and roll prints that we've got up. And we have the Serena prints, obviously. But the Springsteen is one of my favorite, probably of my career. And I really love the Kiss ones, too. But Gwen is up there with one of my
great
She's shot. Definitely one of my favorites that I ever worked with.
That is a great shot.
She's such a really, really sweet girl, and she's a lot of fun to shoot on stage. you know, she's got a lot of energy, as you see in that picture, obviously. And
was that picture taken before or after she told you about your ego?
After. I think that was on the, I think the picture that I've got on there is from the Rocksteady tour. So it's been, wow, that was 2000 and, I think it was 2002, if I remember correctly. Seems like it was just yesterday.
Time's flying.
Oh, time does fly.
So, all right, so where should we, like, send everybody to go for Charity Buzz Auctions, for all the info on
the definitely go to the – you can do the two things. We've got the Life After – it's lifeafterproject.org to see all the information that we've got that we do about, you know, the stuff that we do. But the charity with all the really cool auctions and stuff is it's charitybuzz.com. Now, you can get to it a couple of different ways. You can go there and just – I think you can search for Life After, which is one word, L-I-F-E-A-F-T-E-R. But you can – if you want to post a link somewhere, you can post a link and they can just go straight to all the auctions. So, yeah, you can – I mean, you can see all the stuff that we've got up right now. I think it ends – everything ends on Thursday, around midday Thursday.
Okay.
And
so we'll pump it out there.
I mean, it's some pretty cool stuff. I really wish Hollywood was going to be on earlier in the day, and then we could talk about it and stuff. But I think she's going to be on later that night, right?
Yeah, yeah, she'll be on 9 o'clock Eastern. So what's that? 6 o'clock.
Six my time. Yeah. So yeah, she's incredible. Maybe I could. I don't know. Can you take calls? Like if I call in or something and talk or anything like that, or no?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we definitely should touch base before then, and I'll call in and you know talk to her and we can come up with some cool stories.
Cool. This will be fun. This will be a lot of fun.
So you know, I think it'll be a lot of fun for sure. Anytime that I talk to her, I'm going to see her in North Carolina in September. Yeah, September. I think early September, like September 6th, I think. We're doing a photo shoot, and then, you know, we'll be doing the wrestling lesson sometime before the end of the year. We just don't know when it'll be yet.
Very cool.
So
gives me time.
You still got time
to
bid. It gives you what?
Time to get money together for plane tickets.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you should bid on it. Definitely. If I were you, I would bid on it.
That's so funny. Cool. Well, I'm going to steer the hell out of this stuff for you.
Well, I really appreciate it. And so does she.
Absolutely. And I will I'll let you know. Maybe I'll air this. What's today? Sunday? Tuesday night. Maybe I'll air it Tuesday night.
Cool. Very good. The auctions go to Thursday, like midday on Thursday. So,
cool. Yeah. So I'll air it Tuesday night for you then.
Well, very good then, man. I appreciate it.
Cool. I'm glad we called up and got this all situated. And yeah, I look forward to you calling it Thursday night and breaking some Hollywood balls.
Cool, man. We'll have fun with it. I can call in and then don't tell her who it is, and then we'll see if she can even pick. Surely, well, I say surely, but maybe she won't be able to. She can. She'll recognize my voice and everything. So that'll be cool. Cause you said it's on Thursday night, right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's my birthday. So I'll call her. I'll call you up. We'll hook it up like offline and you can tell me like what time to call and,
okay.
We'll make it happen. That'll be cool. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, before the celebration starts, we'll have some fun.
There you go. Right.
Cool. Awesome.
Well, cool,
Mike,
man.
Thanks again, man. This is great talking. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely, man. Take care.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, welcome back to Junior Radio. Bay Ragney here, and there you go. There's Michael Strider. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Really good guy. Fun conversation. I thought it was a really good interview myself. So there you go. For more information on the Life After Project, just go to lifeafterproject.org and make sure, like I said, you know, we talked about it in the interview and also before the interview, make sure you check out that Charity Buzz auction. It does end this Thursday, so check it out. CharityBuzz.com and search Life After Project. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for supporting. Make sure you check out the Life After Project. Make sure you check out Michael Strider. Make sure you check us out, Totally Driven Entertainment, Totally Driven Radio. Just look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or look for me, Bay Ragney, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, again, thanks for tuning in. And most importantly, stay driven. And tune in Thursday night as well. We'll be back live. So check it out. Until then, see you, everybody.